And hello, welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwett, type 1 since 1987.
Riding sidecar, my name is Dobie Maxwell, type 2 since 2011. Thank you for joining us on our radio discussion of the all things diabetes. And today we got another good show for you.
What are we talking about today?
We have a special guest today, a gentleman who is from the Milwaukee area. If you are anywhere in the Milwaukee area and sports is your thing, I met him years ago. He was managing the world-famous Major Goolsby's, one of the best and biggest sports bars in America. He is now a singer. He's always been a great writer. He's just an entertainment guru. Everyone knows him. His name is Chris Pepis, also known as CP. So CP will be joining us. He is one of the most amazing cases I've ever seen of someone who has dramatically transformed his health. And diabetes was part of that. And he's going to kind of – he also has some relatives that are diabetic. And he always has something interesting. I mean, before I was even diagnosed, he would tell me great stories about it. He's the most diligent worker-outer I have ever met in my life.
He's going to make me look really bad. I can tell this right off.
He's a good guy. And I'm thinking, you know what? The reason we started the show a long time, two jamokes like us, we decided, you know what? Mark's a type 1. I'm a type 2. Everybody that hears that they've got diabetes, it's a shocking thing. I remember the first time I heard it, you might as well have said, you have leprosy. You know, grab a cup, go sit in the town square, and beg alms for the poor. You think your life is over. But it's not over. And millions of people, as Mark always says, I don't know the statistics. Oh, better get that. Might be the phone.
It's the president. They can wait.
Okay.
So, yeah. But the point of it is, what Dobie was getting at, We will accept all pity. I mean, pity is a total different emotion. We can handle that and might help us. Well, I don't know. Maybe with tips. Help me out here.
I go for an hourly wage. If you want to contact us, we have thediabeticshow.com. We also have a Facebook group if you'd like to join that in the discussion. And let's bring our guest on right now since he's waiting on the phone. Is that okay with you?
Let's jump.
Joining us from his palatial estate on the east side of Milwaukee, it's Chris C.P. Pepis. C.P., how are you, sir?
Pretty good, Dobie. How you doing?
We're doing good. You know, I know we put the show together, and Mark's got people that he wanted to talk to, and you're one of the people that I wanted to talk to, just because you are you live the life in the trenches, brother, and I respect that. So when were you diagnosed with diabetes?
I really wasn't ever diagnosed with diabetes per se.
Okay.
But had an impact on my life for a long time because my grandmother was diagnosed from the time that I was about probably 4 or 5 years old, and I'll be 65 this coming summer. So that takes into account a lot of territory. And we saw how it affected her life and how she gradually lost her sight and was staying with my aunt at the time, and they had a stretch of rope to get her to go, you know, from her bedroom to the bathroom and stuff like that because she had lost her vision. And we were, you know, there was precious little that could be done at that point, you know, other than insulin. She was a brittle type 1 diabetic. So I know that Mark is fully aware of that impact.
Ooh, yeah.
And what strikes me about any discussion about diabetes in 2018 is the fact that all these years have passed since my grandmother and many people before her obviously have had this disease, and we haven't really come close to a cure. I mean, we can manage, but we cannot cure. And that's almost baffling to me as to the strides we've made in many other diseases and eradicated many of them in the meantime that were even maybe considered more severe. But it is, you know, so insidious and attacks from so many fronts and so many people. And like I mentioned to Dobie off the air, that my niece and my nephew both have been diagnosed, one with type 1, my nephew, and he's in his mid-30s. My niece was in her mid-30s when she was diagnosed with a type 2 diabetic, and the specter of diabetes has been at the forefront, and in my mind, probably for as long as I've been around.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, you've been on many levels, first as a viewer and then as a participant, so you know,
yes,
all about,
I mean,
the hypo.
With as far as I had extreme overweight situation pretty much my whole adult life, and I had dropped a significant amount of weight, well over 250 pounds, and had maintained, well, you know, 300 pounds at one point from my all-time high. and maintain the majority of that weight loss, as Dobie alluded to, hitting the gym. And that basically just keeps the, you know, the sand from lapping up on the shore any more than it does. And yet it's a constant, it's a diligent situation that you have to have, because you don't want to end up in a situation where you're going to, you know, go back there, as it were, and put yourself at risk for diabetes. And that's something that I'm pretty much cognizant of 24/7.
Well, CP, first off, you know firsthand how hard it is to lose any kind of weight when you're diabetic. Insulin resistance comes to mind. Just the body plotting against you on a daily basis, just trying to live. I hate to use the word, but what's the secret? What did it for you?
Well, I ended up with, I had gastric bypass. Now it'll be coming up 14 years ago in December. So this just had the 13th anniversary. I was able to lose a lot of weight, a significant amount of weight, two or three times prior to that, but always gained it back and then some more as a result. And like we said, it's just unbelievably difficult, you know, kind of dilemma to be involved in. And it's just, you get to the point where you say, well, you know, kind of like, you know, being above ground, and it's something that I value more than a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and two things of mashed potatoes or whatever your particular thing was or is, as far as, you know, the food addiction or, you know, obviously we live in a society where in our parents' and grandparents' generation, you did not have enough food available. Now we've got 24/7, you know, grocery stores, you know, the Woodman's and everything else, where they just have rows and rows and rows and aisles and aisles and aisles of all these things that contain the high fructose corn syrup, you know, sugar, fat, salt. And we are hardwired as human beings put on this planet to crave those things for, and to store up those things. More importantly, that's where the fat storage dilemma comes into play. We are hardwired to seek out these three items, the sugar, the fat, and the salt, so that for the lean times when we didn't have access because of the winter season or the lack of animals to hunt, and I'm talking about our ancestors, you know, way back when. But that's in our DNA. We are always going to be battling that same battle. I mean, Dr. Kessler, he was at one time the head of the FDA. He came out with a book basically aligning or detailing this desire. He said he couldn't figure out why. He's an intelligent man, you know, has all these degrees and everything, is a physician, and still cannot get past the sugar, fat, and salt. He's craving it all the time. He figured out why. He was just like, yeah, we're kind of built that way. And so you have to come to grips with it and play the hand that you're dealt. And if it means more exercise, you know, getting out and doing whatever it is that you could do. When I first started working out, I was doing 5 minutes of walking in place a day, just 5 minutes, and I added a minute a week to that initially, and then over months, and then getting it as a habit, I added things like little hand weights and little things on ankle weights, and gradually got up to 25, 35, you know, 45 minutes a day.
And now you can rip a Buick in half without even thinking about it.
Yeah, and now, you know, now I go to a facility that has some different machinery that can work the upper body as well as the, you know, get the cardio in and things like this. So I'll be interested on your thoughts and what you guys do to combat it.
Well, it's amazing. One of the many things I admire about you, when I knew you 14 years ago when you had your surgery, and never once did I hear you complain. I mean, food, like I say, it gets in your system. We like Kentucky Fried Chicken and Big Macs and Little Debbie Snack and Cakes and Ovaltine and Fudge Stripes and Keebler Cookies and all those kind of things, blah, blah, blah.
Reese's Peanut Butter
Reese's
Cups.
Pieces, all our favorites, and we all have our weakness. And it is salty or fatty or sugary or whatever we're not supposed to have. And you never complain once. You work like a trooper. And you started with 5 minutes, and it's just, I just really admire you, because the average person, I don't think, could do it. I know you're lovely. Brian encouraged you, and all your friends encouraged you, but to get out there and do it every day, you should win a medal, brother, because it ain't easy.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it as so much of something that I did, but something that I had to do. I didn't see it as a choice.
Mm-hmm. That's why you won.
I wanted to be as healthy as I could be at any one point in my life or at any one weight, and I always saw myself as that. But as we get older, it's harder and harder. The metabolism slows down. That throws another little box of tacks into the road, and these things are just, you have to deal with them. I mean, you can't bury your head in the sand, but when you get that wake-up call, and I know several musicians. I saw a guy that comes to many of the jams that I go to perform at, and he has this little looks like a half of the size of a lunchbox, and he carries with him all the time. And it's he's type 1 diabetic for I'm guessing 20-25 years, and he always has it with him as his insulin to balance and to live. And it's just second nature. It's like a songbook or a guitar amp or whatever. It's just part of what he brings to go day to day in life, and it's not impossible to do that. And it's something that we can tell people. It's not a death sentence. While they haven't figured out a cure, they have figured out really, really good ways to manage. And I'm hopeful that, especially with the progress that has been made in stem cells, that that this diabetes is got a shelf life, and it's about to run out. And I couldn't be more hopeful about not only diabetes, but more diseases than even that. And I really can't wait, and I know you guys probably can't wait either, because it's something that's just hanging over our head. It'd be great to just check that off the bucket list. Diabetes. Oh yeah, we cured that. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, remember when people were diabetic? Yeah, we cured that. And
it went the way of the leisure suit. Great.
No, I still have my leisure suit. No. Double-breasted is cool. It sounds literally like you did rewire your thinking. And I mean, I tell you, let's take the break here.
Come
back to the other side, because I'm sure your foundation comes from your family and friends. I mean, you just sound so secure in what you're saying.
He's amazing. Chris Pepis, CP, is our distinguished guest. We'll be back with more with him on The Diabetic Show.
We'll be right back. Welcome to The Diabetic Show. Mark Villette, type 1 diabetic.
Dolby Maxwell, type 2, with you. It's a party. We're talking about something that most people
party.
Don't get together and talk Lordy. About. We're bringing it to the surface here. We have a very good guest today, and I personally had him in my top list of people I wanted to talk to when we started the show. His name is Chris Pepis, known as CP. Chris is a writer extraordinaire. Chris, let's go through your pedigree to plug some of your fine work. Where can we catch your writing?
My writing is available now occasionally in Our Wisconsin magazine, and I also write for the Jazz Unlimited newsletter and have had occasional pieces in Key Magazine, which is a magazine distributed to the hotels and fine restaurants. About things to do out and about in Milwaukee over the years. I've been involved in different websites, covered a lot of Packers, a lot of Bucks, Brewers, and kind of local sports market, UWM. And as far as the music goes, I recently became a journalist or a vocalist in addition to my journalist duties. So I play around town in a group called Generation Gap, which is a five-piece with the guys in their 80s. And also go out with the great Jeff Stoll talent here as CP and Stoll, and we'd be play, three or four five times a month or more around town in different places. And this Friday night, we're going to be at O'Donoghue's in Elm Grove with Generation Gap from 6 to 9. If any of the listeners make their way up to the Milwaukee area.
CP, throw the date out. Sorry to interrupt you, CP. Throw that date out for your event because we're all over the place, and this might not play when you expect it to the following weekend. So what's your date?
Sure. Well, that would be Friday, January 12th, but we've got coming up January 17th at the Bay Restaurant, January 26th at Allie's in Menominee Falls, January 28th at the Packing House in Milwaukee. So far and wide is the reach, and having a lot of fun with it.
Excellent.
And Mark wanted to talk more about how sometimes diabetics feel isolated.
Well, yeah, we were talking during the break. People,
absolutely.
Number one question I get from listeners, they feel like they're alone, but you're not. It's quite obvious. I mean, what's your strengths? I mean, what do you owe your successes?
None of us are. We have to draw on the people around us to get us to where we need to be and kind of stay on point and stay vigilant. I mean, anytime you get anything that you think, well, just the only person that, you know, handles it. And I know you talk about your Facebook page. I think social media is very beneficial in helping people with all sorts of things that they feel they're alone in, where they can come to the realization that they are not alone at all. And so tap into that support system. Even though you don't feel it's there are people that are there in your corner at all times. And, you know, family, friends, just anyone else that, like I said, you know, through music, you meet a lot of different people. And I've met some very talented people, and they have their struggles with diabetes. One of the great vocalists around town with Eddie Butts for years, and Midnight Groove, Rhonda Bagos.
Yep, she's going to be a future guest on the show as well.
Yeah, she is.
Absolutely.
And also Sammy Lanas from the Bodines.
Beautiful.
That I've come across, you know. And, you know, you don't wear it on your sleeve. It's not a embroidered on a hat that, you know, I'm a diabetic.
Well, see, we want to do that, CP.
They just go and live their lives, you know.
We want to have like an ascot or diabetic ascot that everybody wears. But seriously, now I'm left-handed. That's part of the unseen minority that nobody knows who's left-handed. When I go find someone that is, like a server in a restaurant or someone, I just talk about it. And a left-handed woman, very rare. 10% of the population is left-handed. 10% of left-handers are women. So you can bring that up. Wow. So if you have statistics, how can we say, okay, you're a type 1 or a type 2 diabetic? I mean, a stovepipe hat, you know, one glove like Michael Jackson, a flip-flop and a muckluck on your shoes like the gangsters wear the bandanas and the different colors. I think we should really, you know, if you know, you can walk up to somebody and say, are you type 1 or type 2? And just really mingle. So we want to use the show to bring people together.
It's not something you want to drop in the middle of your conversation at the cocktail party. That's true. But
if you're at Dairy Queen having a hot foot,
it's not something that you should be ashamed of or run away from, or, you know, not have people know about you. Because I think, you know, there may be some people that don't know how to handle even the topic. But I'm sure at this point in our lives, and unfortunately society wide, there's so many people that are affected. You know, especially the type 2, the onslaught of that in our society. I think you could probably make a direct correlation to the high fructose corn syrup, not just for the soft drinks, but, you know, virtually in every food product that comes out.
It's in ketchup. I think it's in water now.
Some of that, and you couldn't possibly go from, you know, the beginning of your day to the end of the day and mark down all that you consume of that variety of evil, you know, that's hidden in everything that we consume. I mean, it's just, you know, talk about insidious. The disease itself is insidious, but the proliferation of that additive has really wreaked an awful lot of havoc on us as a human, you know, species. And it's a shame, and I think we're waking up. I think we're getting much better. And hats off to you guys for having this forum and this show for people to come to and laugh a little bit about it and just have come to grips with it and not to feel alone, as none of us really are in the long run. We're all connected.
CP, I wanted to ask you, because all the numbers that we throw around here on the show, the new diabetics every year and more, the number really throws me off are the tens of millions that have it and don't know it. Now, was it something that you were looking at because you had the exposure to your grandmother at a young age? Or was there one thing that just slapped you upside your head and said, hey, something's wrong?
Probably. I mean, I don't know if it was just that, just consciousness was always there. So that clearly was, something that, it got to the point with my grandmother that, for Christmas gifts and birthday gifts, they were, syringes and, 80 unit vials and stuff like that. I mean, it was not, and the conversation would always roll around, well, grandma's diabetic, and how do you deal with it? It wasn't anything to do. Now at least they've got things like the pumps and the different things you can do, and fortunately, type 2 is even a little easier to get under control if you can get your weight and eating habits a little more and exercise habits a little more in line. So I'm excited or buoyed or whatever term you want to use for the future as getting a handle of it, even though, it seems that, we've gotten way too, when I was in school, I always refer to this as I was kind of the fat kid, but now you look at the file footage of school kids.
That was the skinny kid.
And there are many.
They're making fun of the skinny kid.
There are so many.
CP, we're up against the clock. We've got to take one more quick break. Chris Pepas, CP, is our distinguished guest. We're going to get to how to get a hold of him if you'd like to. You can see his music. You can read his writing. Thanks for being a part of it. We are The Diabetic Show. He is Mark Philwood. I'm Dobie Maxwell. We will be right back on The Diabetic Show.
Diabetic Show. Mark Philwood, type 1 diabetic.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2, joining us on the phone. All around, bon vivant. Is that the word? I don't. My French.
Bon vivant.
He's a man about town.
Raconteur.
Chris Pepas, CP. Entrepreneur. Anything with an ur on the end of it. You were a masseur. Masseuse. No, that's a good. No.
No, that would
manure.
Be.
Manure.
Yeah, oh,
full of manure.
Snap.
CP, we're glad you joined us. Now, tell us, if you can, and you've been around diabetics, but you're not yourself, how can someone that is diabetic get into a mindset where they can work out? That's all, as we record this, it's January. We're so full of brownies and ding-dongs and Christmas cookies and all those kind of things that we know we should be working out. How do you start? What do you recommend?
I would recommend just taking one step, as simple as it sounds, sounds simple, and sometimes that first step, just to go to either a gym or to take a walk or whatever, that first step, they talk about apple a day that you mentioned recently on one of your blogs, Dobie, mm-hmm. about creating a habit, and I think that's exactly true. I mean, if I miss 2 days of working out, I miss it. I really do. It's like, something's not... when you get back to it. Mm-hmm. And I try not to do that. Some obviously schedules, sometimes don't permit it. Things happen and get in the way of the holidays, greeting people and doing different things that come up in life. But that said, and if you have a slip, by all means, don't throw everything out the window because you did. I mean, get right back at it. You don't have to wait till the next Monday to start the new diet or whatever it is. People always put limitations on themselves. It's like, even if you slip in the middle of the day, I'll do better the next meal. I'll for this, or I'll do better at that.
Okay, well, CP.
Those are the little things.
I got to ask you a follow-up here. Okay, now you've started. Now you're doing your thing. How do you keep it going? I mean, on those bad days, I mean, you literally lost, what, a small human being off your frame. I mean, congratulations for that, for heaven's sake.
More than that, a young couple.
Well, in radio, you lost one.
Probably a good a defensive back.
Oh, okay, we'll go that far. But on those days when you really make it seem like there's not even a choice in your mind, you're going to do it.
Yeah, I think it is a kind of a mindset, and it is a habit, and it is something that you can just ask yourself, where you want to be, and if you're honest with yourself, you say, well, I need to do this, then it doesn't become, even a question. Are you going to do that? And there are days when I'd rather not, or you even, I can't even motivate myself to drive through the place,
My grandpa was called
inside.
My grandpa said it's the difference between
just start something.
The difference between bacon and eggs. The chicken was involved and the pig was committed. He gave it all up. You can't be a chicken, you got to be a pig.
Wow. That's the give ups are the hardest.
Don't
part.
You think?
Absolutely. CP, I got to ask you before we let you go. Uh-huh. We got to make this quick as always. Is there something in that, boy, every day you're kind of thinking about, I wish I had a piece of this, a bite of that. You have a weakness. We're looking for a weakness in you, CP.
Pretzels. I love pretzels.
Fat
I love
free.
Pizza.
Fat free.
Well,
not the pizza, but
the P word.
How about one M&M?
They call them M&M's for a reason.
We all have the stories about, we'll just start the package of cookies, and before you know it, it's gone. It's like you become Houdini and make everything disappear.
Speaking of which, we got to make you disappear, buddy, in a friendly and a customer service kind of a way. Chris Pepin, CP, joined us today. And we thank you. Again, any website, anything you got plugged, we sure appreciate you taking time out of your day.
Just hit me up on Facebook, and everything that I do writing-wise and music-wise is on there.
Outstanding, buddy. Thank you. You were a relief pitcher out of the bullpen, and you struck him out in the ninth, buddy. Thank you so much for being with
us. I am left-handed, by the way.
You are left-handed?
I am.
I knew it, buddy.
Wait. How about Troy?
Troy, our producer?
No,
he's normal.
He's the normal one.
He's regular in this world. All right, so giving you the left-handed salute, boss. Talk to you soon, and we'll have you back again in the future.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Talk soon, buddy. Thank you. That's our buddy CP. Thank you for listening. If you want to be part of
we've got time here. This guy, wow.
No, CP is an amazing human being. One of those things where I saw him lose the 240 whatever, how many pounds he did, and he's just like the tortoise and the hare. He went every day, and I saw him start with the 5 minutes, and you're thinking, no offense, a guy that's a large human being, and he's got a heart as big as he was, and it's just like you're cheering for a guy like that, and dadgummit if he didn't do it.
And to clear up our weights of people, he lost two regular people off of his frame.
Yeah.
One radio person.
Now, there is there's a complacent lifestyle. We happen to be doing the show in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is known for being a little bit on the larger side, the two scoop of potato state of all time. Gravy is a beverage, and it's like I said, it's so good. That high fructose corn syrup. We could do a whole show on that. If you read into that stuff, it's evil, and it's cheaper, and it sticks to your innards like car wax, pretty much, and you can't get it out, and it puts pounds on you. We should probably be picketing the fructose corn productory, wherever that is. I don't know where it is.
Let's start off with the diabetic identification outfits that we can make some money on.
I really think,
we'll
move
over to that.
You don't put a D like the, hey, what up, D?
Okay. The questions, comments, concerns, complaints. Mm-hmm. Well, except for the last one. It would be mark@thediabeticshow.com. But we'll get you Dobie.
Financial donations and recipes for it'd be Dobie@thediabeticshow.com. DOBIE.
Or just go to the website, The Diabetic Show, on the Facebook page.
And if you have any ideas for guests, I'm just going through my Rolodex of people, and you have people we'll have on in the future. And we just want to get that discussion going with regular folk and take the scariness away from this horrendous disease.
Much thanks to Troy McDonald. We thought we're losing Troy. We're not sure if we're losing Troy.
He's going to be our boss someday. So
that was without doubt.
We'll be driving his limo. We'll get him. We'll get him some diabetic stuff.
Well, I would imagine General Manager David Cole would give us a good thumbs up.
We're almost out of time. Thanks for listening. We are the Diabetic Show. He's Mark Philwitt. I'm Dobie Maxwell. You are you. Thanks for listening. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside.